gung-ho with everything about it. And this message is not on Christmas, so you can breathe about that. There are a lot of things about this time of year and how the world observes it that I really don't like. And I'm sure you're the same. The materialistic phase of Christmas is somewhat dangerous. It lends itself to a lot of covetousness, as you know, and gets the children very greedy. There's nothing noble about that, that's for sure. There certainly isn't anything noble about or good about the many religious observances around this time of year. You know, if so many people, they'll go to that Christmas Mass and then they're okay for the rest of the year. That's very dangerous and damaging. I don't think it's very healthy to teach children that there's a man that knows whether they've done good or bad, so be good for goodness sake. There's a God that knows about that. But with all that, I could say I could keep going, but I'll stop right there. But there's something that I really do love about Christmas, because it shows us something about God. And it should be an emphasis in our lives. Christmas is a big time of giving. Giving is a characteristic of God. I think that when we give out of a right heart, when we give gifts, that we can learn something about God and be like the Lord in that way. Now, it's one thing to be wanting to stay on the other side of that and be receiving, but the Bible says, the Lord Jesus says, it's more blessed to give than to receive. There is something spiritual about giving. Can be. Because God, that's what God is. God is a God of gifts, if I had to tie to what I'm talking about tonight. And of course, James chapter 1, I'll just read these in introduction. James chapter 1, the Bible says in verse 17, that means all of them, of course. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So every good gift in our lives, every perfect gift, is something from God. He says in Acts chapter 17, he expands that about our God, even to the realm of those that don't know him. God gives gifts to people that do not know him as their Lord. And he still is giving to them. God doesn't give gifts to only those that deserve it. So, you know, be good for goodness sake so you can get the gift. I'm glad God's not that way. Because this verse in Acts 17 says this in verse 25, neither is worship with men's hands as though he needed anything. Well, that's a whole message there. Seeing he, that's God, seeing he giveth to all life and breath. Look at that. And all things, everything we have, everything that lost men have, is something from God's hand. Let's pray and ask God for some understanding and help in the message tonight. Father, I pray you teach us something about yourself. Father, help us to have the same heart of giving that you have. And Lord, not just one time of year, but may we delight in giving gifts to others, like you delight in giving gifts to us. And take us into that tonight, Lord, by your Spirit. And give us your heart and mind, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want to give you three areas tonight. Three areas of God's gifts. Three different areas of God's gifts. One is concerning our salvation, of course. There's an area of gifts having to do with our salvation. Go to Romans chapter 5, and there's so many of those. There's not just one. But when God saved you, he gave you a whole lot of gifts. If you're born again tonight, you got a whole lot of gifts at one time. And you may not have, you know, examined all of them and opened them up one at a time and gazed on them, but really, God dumped a boatload of gifts in your soul when you got saved, if you're saved. Now, we know that all of that is because of His Son. The biggest gift God ever gave was He gave His only begotten Son, right? And the Bible says there in the book of 2 Corinthians, He says, thanks be unto God, 2 Corinthians 9:15, for His unspeakable gift. The gift of the Lord Jesus Christ is so great, so large, you really can't put it into words. No preacher could. You couldn't describe it. You couldn't thank Him enough for it. I mean, if you tried, if you stayed up all night to try to give God the credit for the gift of His Son, you wouldn't be able to get there with your word. God says it's unspeakable gift. It's just too big. It's too big. But in Romans chapter 5, He details some of these gifts that come along with our salvation. And I like this text in Romans 5:15. I'll never forget the first, I think it was, maybe not the first mission trip I made overseas, but it was real close. It was probably in about 94, when I went to the Republic of Georgia, something like that, 93, was it 94, Abby? And it's good to have Abby here and all the kids. Y'all love them before they get out of town now. 94, and We were over there preaching. Of course, their Bible had some problems. We just used the only Bible we could get a hold of. And I still got one. I've got one that is, I don't know where it is, but it's in a box somewhere with everything else I own, amen. But it's a big Bible. And it was done by the Orthodox Church. And we looked at some, you know, being someone that studied the King James Bible issue and the underlying text, I knew the typical text to check. And I was going through this Bible, and I said, that one's right, and that one's right. And I started going through a lot of them. And they were saying, no, this Bible's not good Bible. And I said, well, all these places where it should be wrong, it's okay. Maybe this is a good Bible. And then I got up one night, and we were going through Romans chapter 5 about salvation. And this is what I found. Look at verse 15. The Bible says, but not as the offense, so also is the why. Now, you're going to read down from verse 15 to verse 18, and you're going to find five times the word gift is used. And three of those times it says free gift. And every one of those times in that Bible, that had been snatched out. And it had been replaced with something like do your due diligence or something like that. It's had to do with something you did instead of something God gave you for free. And then we looked through the rest of the Bible, and every reference to the gift of God was removed. Because in their religion, they wanted people to believe that salvation was not something that was free, not something that you receive, but something you achieve. But our Bible says that God is a God that gives gifts, and He gives free gifts. Free gift. It costs Him everything, but it didn't cost you anything. Let's read this. He said, but not as the offense. So anybody cold in here? We're going to take a while to get, okay, got a few cold. Anybody hot? Oh, Lord. Verse 15. All right, here we go. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift, for if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Verse 17, for if by one man's offense, that's Adam, death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace, now watch this, and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. You know what God did for you if you're saved tonight? He gave you a gift, and it wasn't just in one area. He gave you a gift of righteousness. Because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. None of us are righteous. We can never be righteous. The best that we can do, it's filthy, it's dirty, it won't measure up. And so God looked down at us, and if you get to his heaven, you're not going to take all that filth with you. But even if you got rid of all the filth, there's nothing right about you. So God is not only a God of forgiveness, but he cleanses us from iniquity, but then he loads us with a free gift of righteousness because we don't have the ability to have any. What a gift that God would not just save me, but he would give me righteousness freely. I couldn't work for it. I couldn't be good enough. So God says, okay, I'm going to take care of it. I'm just going to give it to you as a gift. Here's some righteousness. And it's not man's, it's mine. Here you go. Pray. That's salvation. Salvation is us standing in the gift of the righteousness of Christ. That's free. Praise the Lord. Why would anybody want that? He said, verse 18, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. You see, not only did he give us righteousness, it resulted in me getting life. And in chapter 6, the next chapter, you know the verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. But the what? The what? The gift of God is what? I got righteousness as a gift. I got eternal life as a gift. It's eternal life through Jesus Christ. What a blessing to know that. You know, I'm not looking for a fountain of youth. It's flowing within me through the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to live forever. He that believeth in me, though he're dead, yet shall live. He believeth in me, he'll never die. Eternal, everlasting life. And all the religions, they despise that. They say, well, that you just can't, you know, you can't think that you can live forever and not lose it and all that. No, it's a gift. It's free. Look in chapter 5, verse 1. There's all kind of gifts here that go with our salvation. They're all connected to my salvation. He said in verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have what? We have peace. That's a gift. I got a gift of righteousness. I got a gift of eternal life. I got a gift of peace. He said in verse 5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the what? The Holy Ghost, which is what? He said, I'm going to give you righteousness, I'm going to give you eternal life, I'm going to give you peace, and I'm going to give you the Holy Ghost. Amen. And contrary-wise to what some of the confused brethren say, you know, we don't need any other supernatural experience to get the Holy Ghost. When you got born again, God gave it to you as a gift. That's exactly what Peter with Cornelius, and they were all fussing about the Gentiles. And Peter said, look, we can't forbid water to whom somebody, God has given the gift of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is a gift. It's a free gift. And he comes with our salvation. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. You ought to walk around and just apologize to him. Amen. I'm sorry you have to live in this old body here. As I take you places you don't want to go, right? And I say things you don't want to hear. Amen. And I do things you don't want to have any part of and watch things you don't want to see, and you're still there. You ought to, if it wasn't for the Spirit of God living in our hearts, oh my. That's what makes us feel bad when we do wrong. Thank God for that.
Amen.
We would be unhindered in our errors. And God says, I'm just going to give that to you as a gift. Stick it right down in there and it'll always be there with you.
Amen.
So you can have a guide and a comfort and a keeper. Isn't that a blessing? And I just, that's free. Well, let's keep, he says in, before I go into that, you know, when Christmas time comes, and I don't know if you're like me, if you rush around trying to think of gifts to give, or maybe you do it like people think about it all year, but here's a problem people have when they give gifts. They give gifts beyond their means. You know what I'm talking about? Giving gifts is wonderful. But you don't give out of that which you don't have. That's how you go bankrupt. Well, little Susie just deserves and needs this $500 electronic device, and I can barely pay the bills, but you know, it's Christmas time. Get out the plastic, honey. That's not wise if you're having a hard time paying. What I'm saying, the giver, gifts need to be given within the means that someone has to give them. If you're unwise and you go in hock this Christmas season and it rolls around and you're going to have, and you have a hard time, not just maybe not paying your bills, but you have a hard time giving your missions. And what you wanted to give to the building, or something God wanted you to give somebody else. But you can't do it because, man, I got all the, it's going to take me 6 months to pay that off. That's not smart. And God didn't do things that way. You know the great thing about God? He has plenty of means. He said, I can give you all this righteousness, and it ain't going to affect me a bit because I got plenty of righteousness. Yeah. I can give you all this peace because I got plenty of peace. I'm not going to be any worse for it. I can give you all this eternal life. I can give you the Spirit of God. I've got plenty of means to do it. And I can give to this one, and I can give to this one, and I can just spread around because I've got so much to give. Amen. What a God. That's why he's such a... He's a great giver, but he's got plenty to give. God doesn't expect us to give what we can't give. There have been years of plenty in our family and years where we've been a little tight, you know. Say, well, you know, this is all you get this year. But if anybody's got a problem with that, Dad, come in here and tell them about you getting the tangerine, and that's every year, you know. You know, or whatever it was. We got a, what was it, Dad, you got for Christmas? An orange or? A few pecans, an orange, and an apple, what he got for Christmas. And if that's what we, praise the Lord. But if God has given you plenty, well, praise the Lord. But we need to follow the Lord's example on that. I would say one other thing about God's gifts connected with our salvation. Though they're offered to everyone, they have a contingency on them. God says, here's my righteousness, here's my peace, here's my eternal life, here's the Holy Ghost, here's the gift of God. It's through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's salvation. Here it is, the gift of my grace. We can keep going on and on. I'm going to offer it to all, but it has a contingency on it, right? What is it? My own repentance and faith, right? God doesn't take the gift of God and shove it down people's throats. We have to humble our hearts before him and believe on his son, trust him, and then we get all those gifts that's connected with Christ. Those are gifts connected with our salvation. But I'll go to Ephesians chapter 4. God gives a whole series of other gifts that's connected with something else. It's connected with what our Christian life or our Christian service is. And grab Ephesians 4, and I was there the other day in 1 Corinthians 12. Praise God for his gifts that are connected with my salvation. But you know, the Lord didn't save me to do nothing. That's bad grammar, but it's true. God saved me to do something. And so you know what he does? He gives more gifts. He gives more gifts so I can accomplish what he wants me to do. He says here in 1 Corinthians, I'll read that, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 4. Now there are diversities of what? Gifts. You see that? But the same Spirit. Now what he goes through in this chapter are a whole lot of different gifts that he's giving people so they can perform the Christian service that he wants them to perform. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, the Bible says in verse number 7, Ephesians 4, 7, but unto every one of us is given grace, there's a gift, according to the measure of the gift, there it is, of Christ, his person, he's a gift. Verse 8, wherefore he saith when he ascended up on high, look at it now, he led captivity captive and gave what? Gifts unto men. What gifts? So the Lord's going back to heaven, but he's giving gifts to men. Why? So they can fulfill his plan, his purpose, his will in what they're supposed to do now that he's going away. Look at verse 11. And he what? Same context. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. So God, the Lord gave gifts to men so that they could perform the duties and functions that need to be performed and be his representative. And everybody got, you know, something a little different. I like that about God too. You know, if God was a 21st century American, everybody have to have the same gift. That's not fair. Right? It's not fair that I got a gift different than you got a gift. I want the same gift. You know how you can take care of that with your kids? You just look at them and you say this word. You say two words. You say, deal with it. That's what you do. Life's not fair. Everything doesn't have to be the same. You don't have to have what everybody else has. Amen. And you'll never have to have what everybody else has. You just need to be thankful for what you've been, what? Given. God gave, the Lord gave some gifts for this guy to be a teacher. He gave this person gift to be a help. I don't hear a lot of preaching on that. Some people they have been gifted to help. Everybody doesn't have the same gift. But the Lord said, I tell you what, I'm going to give you guys everything you need to do the job that you need to do. What a wise God. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4. So there are gifts connected with our service. Our Christian life, what God wants us to do. God will never ask you to do what he will not give you the ability to do. Now, there's somebody, I don't know who it is because I don't know everybody good enough. There's somebody in this church that can't carry a tune in a bucket. They have not been gifted that way, right? So you know what we're not going to do? They're not going to lead to singing. Right? Because that's not the job God wants them to do. All right, but somebody else has another gift. Somebody else works good with children. I think that's a gift. Amen. If you put some people in, I don't even know everybody. But I guarantee you could take some people in this church and stick them in a nursery and we'd have serious church problems. I'll never forget. I gave a guy a job one time in church that a pastor up in Virginia, and I gave him music class. He was a professional. He used to be a member of the Jerusalem Symphony. First chair trumpet. He was full-blooded Jew. This guy was just off the charts. Never saw a musician like him. And I said, wow, we're going to have a music class for the kids. Boy, was that dumb. This guy got all these kids in a church, put them all in a row, and he had those little recorders, you know. That's how he's learning them first, teaching them. And he had all the recorders. And the second class, he said, all right, you're not doing that good enough. And you're not doing, no. Did y'all do your work? Did you do the practices that I told you to practice? And some of them were saying yes. Some of them said, he grabbed the recorder out of their mouth and started beating them on the head. Beating the kids on the head with the recorder. You know what? He didn't have the gift of teaching. Right? He had the gift of playing. He had some musical gifts, but he didn't have the gift to teach anybody. Whatever, I'm just saying, whatever God wants you to do, he'll give you the gift to do it. And if you don't have the gift to do it, well, then he's got something else for you to do. No reason burning a lot of brain cells and getting upset trying to do something that you're never gifted to do. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, the Bible says, well, I'll read verse 9 just because it's good to read it. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. That's just good to read. It ain't got nothing to do with the message, but it's good to read. Verse 10 is where I'm. As, verse 10, as every man hath received the what? The gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Verse 11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability, look at it now, which who? God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So this text tells me that God gives people ability. And that ability is just to minister. And that's what we're all called to do, is to minister for the Lord. It could be a different ministry, but I've got something to do for the Lord. I've got somebody to minister to. I've got somebody to help in Jesus' name. And God's going to give me that ability. Now, I said God's gifts about salvation have a contingency. They're contingent upon my repentance and faith. God's gift about my Christian service. You see verse 10, as every man hath received the gift, even so what? Minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You know what the contingency is with the gifts God gives us so that we can live for Him and serve Him? Is that we use those gifts. You know, if you don't use the gifts that you have, you may just lose those privileges. You said, no, it's built into my DNA. I don't know about that. When God gifts us with certain abilities for His church, for His glory, for His work, He expects us to use them. And if we don't use them, what a waste. What a waste. I don't want to go through life wasting the gifts or the abilities that God gave me. You say, well, preacher, I don't have any ability. Yeah, you got some kind of ability. You got some kind of ability. I mean, if you can work, you know what? There's a man down here, and we support him, and I'm so glad we do. Brother Tom Palmer down here. He's not a pastor. He's not a missionary. You know what he's good at? He's good at fixing cars. And he can do it really well. I can't fix nothing. But you know what? That man's been a blessing to a lot of people, a lot of missionaries. And so you've got, it may be digging a ditch. It may be framing a house. It may be cleaning a toilet. I don't know what it is, but everybody has some kind of ability. It may be, you know, you've got a gift. We back in Charleston, we got a lady. She is 90, it was 91, honey? 90 years old, Miss Mildred? 93 years old. You know what? She can hardly do anything. She's 93 years old. But her daughter that comes to our church, her daughter over there, she gets on her knees and I mean, she labors in prayer. She labors in prayer probably more than healthy people don't do. Everybody has a ministry, but everybody has a gift, but you better use it. Now, by the way, some of those gifts you don't find out until you start using them. Amen. I took my kids and I made them play the piano. They couldn't do it. Well, who can sit down at the piano and start playing the piano? You know, you may have a gift in you that you don't even know is there until you start trying. I am amazed. The first time I stood behind a pulpit and tried to give a pitiful message, I was 14 years old. I don't know why they put me up in the church to preach. And when I got down, they had every right to come to me and say, son, you need to go into insurance. But they didn't do that. I'll never forget. Precious deacon in the church just pat me on the back. He said, He couldn't find anything else to say, and then he just really told a lie. He said, Brent, you've got a good voice. Oh, I sounded like a girl. It was awful. Shy, scared, embarrassed. I'm just saying, a lot of times you don't know what your gifts are until you get to doing it. Because they have to be sharpened and honed. But they're contingent upon being used. Now this is, man, I want to really get to this. Go to Matthew chapter 7. Now there's a third area. Matthew chapter 7. And with your other hand, would you get Ecclesiastes 3? We have got a great giving God. He has so many types of gifts for us. And they're all undeserved. And they're all free. But they do have some contingencies with them. In Matthew chapter 7, the Bible says in verse 11, if ye then being evil, you know, the Jesus that the world talks about is not the Jesus of the Bible. When Jesus got up and started talking to people, you know what he said? He says, you people are all evil. That's not a flattering word. He didn't say, you know, you have a few problems. He said, look at the text. He didn't even say you're a sinner. He said, verse 11, if ye then being evil. What does Jesus think about mankind? He thinks we're all evil. And he's right. You know how he can say that? Because he's not evil. And as he looked at us, he said, you're evil. I can spot that. But now look what he said. If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children. He said, you know, you guys have all types of wicked problems, but you still know how to give good gifts to your children. Then he says this. How much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? He said, you have got a heavenly Father that gives you good things. But you know, just getting a good thing is not sufficient in itself. I'll tell you why. Probably some of the most miserable people that I have ever met are people that have a lot of good things. You understand? Because the more good things you have, that does not necessarily mean that you're going to be able to enjoy them. Now, so God says, you're evil. You know how to give good gifts to your kids. I am not evil, and I know how to give a lot better gifts to my kids. But God, with that, not just the good things, God, with that, gives us another gift along with all these good things that he gives us. Now watch it, Ecclesiastes. And a lot of people don't have this gift because they don't meet a contingency. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 13. The Bible says, and also that every man should eat and drink, and what's the next word? And enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the what? The gift of God. Look at chapter 5 of Ecclesiastes, please. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 18. The Bible says, behold, that which I have seen, it is good and comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life, which God giveth him. For it is his portion. Now watch verse 19. Every man also to whom God hath what? Given riches and wealth and hath given him power to eat thereof, and to take his portion, and to rejoice in his labor. This is the what? The gift of God. Now look, he did not say it's just that the wealth and the riches and the good things of his labor were the gift. He said, no, no, the privilege to be able to enjoy those things is the gift of God. What is greater? What is more important? Is it more important to have things or the ability to enjoy the things that you have? And what I'm trying to tell you tonight is that according to this text, that to be able to enjoy the good things God the Father has given us is a gift in itself. How many people have in this country have a $500,000 house, nice yard, a dog, cat, two guppies and a gerbil, two kids, two-car garage with two cars in the garage, TVs in every room, beautiful wife, husband making a lot of money maybe, and they are totally miserable. How is that possible? Because enjoying the things that the Father has given us is a gift of God. Look at 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Now you say, well, I'm not enjoying some of the things God's given me. Well, there's a contingency on this thing just like the other gift. It is no good to have all the good things from God and you can't enjoy them. Have a family you can't enjoy. Have a church you can't enjoy. Have a relationship with God you can't enjoy. Have all types of things in your house that the majority of the world would die to have. If they came over here, they would have thought they died and went to heaven if they. But you just can't enjoy that. And the problem is that God has to give us a gift to be able to enjoy all these good things. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Watch this. Watch it now. Watch it. Chapter 6 of 1 Timothy, verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world. And if you write in the flyleaf of your Bible, you can put, that's me. You know, no, I'm not rich. If you have a refrigerator in your house, you are rich. Most of the world does not. I've been around the world. If you don't eat rice 3 times a day or 2 times a day, you're rich. If you don't walk everywhere you go or ride public transportation, you're rich. If you have more than 2 pairs of shoes or 3 outfits, you are filthy rich on this planet. Now, I know we don't look at that because we look at the next person next to us, but we don't travel to Uganda. We don't travel to Uzbekistan or India. But in the whole picture, you are rich. You really are. If you have anything in the refrigerator, if you have anything to eat at the house tonight. And our Romanians, I saw those Romanians, they'd walk down the street. And when things got tough, which they often did, they'd walk down the street. And all they could afford, and that's what everybody could afford, was 1 loaf of bread. And I mean, that loaf of bread was like that. And they could buy it for maybe 10 cents. And I mean, it'll stick to you. I mean, it's heavy. I mean, it's real bread. You know what I'm saying? And they'd eat that loaf of bread, and that's all they'd have all day. And they'd save up, and they'd buy them a sack of potatoes and put it in the basement to try to get them through the winter. And that's what they'd have. And they ate meat, maybe if they were blessed, they might eat meat once a week. I'm just saying that we're rich. Now I'm not saying that to put a guilt trip on you. No. Let's read the rest of the verse. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not what? Yeah, amen. That's another message. 2, nor trust in uncertain riches. That's another message. But in the living God. Now watch it, watch it, watch it. Who giveth us richly all things to what? Well, then why can't I enjoy what I have? Why can't I enjoy my marriage? Why can't I enjoy my kids? Why can't I enjoy the things that I have? Go to Deuteronomy. I'm finished. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Here's the contingency, church. Because I'm telling you, if anybody on the face of this earth ought to enjoy life, it ought to be us. Amen. We are just blessed.
Amen.
He that will look, we ought to love the life God's given us. We ought to enjoy the things that God's given us. I don't have a guilt trip over what God's given me. He's a good father. Amen. He gives me good gifts. Amen. And he gives me good gifts to enjoy. But here's the contingency. Deuteronomy 28. And this is why so many people do not enjoy the good gifts of God. And I want you to really listen. I'm finished. It's so important. He said in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 45, moreover all these curses, Deuteronomy 28, 45, moreover all these curses shall come upon thee and shall pursue thee and overtake thee till thou be destroyed because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded thee. Now look at verse 47. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with what? With joyfulness and with what? Gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Now, I'm not going to go through all these curses, but would you just go to one? Look at verse 41, just a few verses above what we read. Thou shalt beget sons and daughters, but thou shalt not what? Enjoy them. God says, I've increased you, I've blessed you, but I've given you all this stuff, and you're not going to be able to enjoy them. You're not going to be able to enjoy your kids. You're not going to be able to enjoy your family. You're not going to be able to enjoy all the goodness that I've bestowed upon you because, and he gives two reasons. Number one, you didn't listen to me. But the second one, he says, and the word is because right there in verse 28. The verse I just read, because thou, somebody read that for me. Because thou servest. Now, because that means this is why. This is why all this is true. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart. Now look, I'm finished. God says this, church. God says this. Look at me. God says this. If you can't enjoy me, then I'm not going to let you enjoy all this other. Because the enjoyment of these things is a gift. If you can't, you say, well, preacher, I'm serving God. I'm doing what he said. He didn't just say that. He said, to serve me with joyfulness and gladness of heart. God says this, if you can't be glad about doing what I'm telling you to do, if you can't be joyful about me and my work and my will, if you are not happy in God, then you're not going to be happy in anything else. Why can this parent not enjoy this child? Well, because this child is this, and this child is that, and this child. Why can this Christian not enjoy a good church and a good job and a good life in America? Maybe it's because my heart is not contented and joyful and glad with God. I'm telling you, there is something about being glad in the Lord that changes your outlook in everything in your life. And when your relationship isn't right with your fellowship, if you don't have a joyful relationship with your God, if you don't have a joyful relationship in what you're trying to do for God, it will affect you where you can't enjoy anything else in life. Even if you've got it all. And you can get 10 more of it. And you won't be glad with it. Because our gladness and our joy has got to be rooted in Him. Amen. And if it is, even if you don't have anything but a couple of pecans and an orange and an apple. Boy, I think this is the best apple I ever ate. This is the best life anybody ever could have. Thank you, Lord. It's a gift of God. A gift of God. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, I pray you'd help us tonight to consider these things and understand that the enjoyment of our lives are contingent upon us rooting our gladness in Thee. And I pray, God, you'd change our hearts. If we're not satisfied with you, that we'd get satisfied with you. Thank you, God. You have given us more than our heart could wish for or dream for. Help us to be truly thankful. God, you've given me the best life. If I had to write a script, I couldn't write it this wonderful. Thank you.